welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'd like to begin by sharing a little poem I have here by Honami Nogata called The Peace of Prayer. I cast my care on Him and sing again, for God's love makes me smile through heavy pain. And oh, when His dear face the dark clouds dim and leave me all alone weeping for Him, mourning for friends who left my heart in dust, lo, grief is turned to joy. Because I trust. Prayer is His children's life, their rest from care. How poor the heart which spurns the peace of prayer. Hallelujah. In Luke 11:1, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so, since prayer is so vital and such an important part of our Christian life, I wanted to spend a few broadcasts and just laying and reviewing the foundation of prayer, some simple principles that we need to lay hold of and understand and be refreshed in the truths of God's Word. When we begin to live as sons and daughters of God, we then have the power to walk and to live and to enjoy all the privileges given to us as children of the kingdom. The impossible things become possible to those who will believe that their prayer will be answered. You know, for years, I've known the Word of God, but beloved, our growth, our reaching unto the stature of the fullness of the measure of Christ Jesus is a continuing revelation and understanding, unveiling to our hearts and minds the truths of the Word of God. And even though we may hear things, we may be familiar with truths, as I've said over and over, it takes the Holy Spirit to really reveal that. We can talk, we can say the words, but they have no life to us unless we really start to possess them, unless we really start to meditate on the Word of God. And so, you know, to talk about the privileges we have, the promises of God, that's all just so much verbiage until we really start seeking the face of God and get hungry for the things of God and want some changes in our lives. If you want change, if you're not satisfied the way you are, then, beloved, God's not going to do any more. He's done everything for us. He will reach out and respond to us, but it takes us taking the first step. Isn't that true? I mean, God, the Holy Spirit is wooing us. If you were out in the world and God's Spirit was drawing you to the point of salvation, He was working in your life. He was drawing you, but it actually took you taking that first step. You had to say, okay, Lord, I'm opening my heart to You. So in many cases, the responsibility lies on us because the work has been finished. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So when Jesus said to have faith in God, that Greek tense for the verb faith in God means to keep on having faith in God or keep on having the faith of God. And that faith is the faith that keeps on trusting God no matter what. There's a union of faith and prayer that brings the victory. Not only are we to ask for the things that we need, we're told to believe that the request has already been granted. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's an incredible statement. What does that mean? It means if thou if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. There's nothing accepted. That's amazing. When this kind of prayer is made, astounding results will follow. Now, also, we should keep in mind that prayer is infinitely more than just petition. Not only should we pray, but we should praise God for his blessings that he's bestowed on us already. Oh, so many wonderful blessings he's given to us. We should also praise God. Thank him for answering our prayers. And another thing to keep in mind is we shouldn't pray for ourselves only. In fact, if we would intercede on behalf of our brothers and sisters who we see in need, we would see great blessings bestowed on us. God knows what we have need of. Isn't that true? He's God. He knows the future. He knows everything. As we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that's the prerequisite. That's what we do first. Then everything we have need of is promised to be supplied. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about for compassion in action, compassion for others in prayer. And that will many times unlock the answer to our own personal petitions that we have. Prayer for others requires us to place ourselves, our means, and all of our energies as at God's disposal for the fulfillment of his purposes for others. That's simply put, but that's what it is. We lay down our lives for the brethren. We're no longer isolated units following a religion, but we're corporate members of the body of Christ in particular. And we must therefore learn to put others first on the altar of prayer. That's why I frequently quote, right in. It's a scriptural principle. We need to pray for one another. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's why, yes, of course we can pray for ourselves. God commands us to do that. But there's also a principle of agreement, the power of agreeing prayer. In the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, Jesus casts a dumb spirit out of a son of one of the multitude present, and none of the disciples could not cast out the demon. So they asked the Lord, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus told them, this kind come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Many times we just sort of gloss over that or pretend it's not there, but that also is a principle. God expects us to fast according to our ability. At one point, even when Jesus was here, they asked the Lord, he said, why don't your disciples fast? The disciples of John fast. And he said, well, the disciples, when the bridegroom is with them, they won't be fasting, but a time is coming when the bridegroom will be taken, and then shall they fast. And this is not a time to go off into fasting, but I believe that's one of the disciplines of the Christian life, and that we should fast according to our abilities. There may be medical conditions that you cannot water fast or even juice fast, but you can abstain from things that you like, sweets, colas, sugars, coffee, whatever. TV, I've known people that have fasted TV. There's a principle of self-denial, and that's what Jesus was illustrating, I believe, in this scripture, because when we do that as unto the Lord, there's something that occurs in the realm of the Spirit. Those of you done some fasting, I know you know what I'm talking about. Over the years, that's a ministry God has called me to, at times a very extended fast. And there's just something that happens in the Spirit. There's a realm in the Spirit you enter into where there's such a faith that is generated that nothing is impossible to the children of God. The disciples undoubtedly had tried to cast out the demon from the child, but failed, and that prompted their question as to why they had failed. And so Jesus gave them that answer. And also note that before Jesus ever began his public ministry, he gave us an example. He went on a 40-day fast. That's not to say that we're to do that, but there is a principle here. So I'm just laying various aspects on the subject of prayer that Jesus mentions. Now, we're to pray for those things that will be a blessing and not a curse. It's not an attempt to get God to change his mind. That's not the purpose of prayer. But rather, it's an importuning God to do those things that he's already willed to do. We can't live in sinful disobedience and expect our prayers to be answered. Now, that should be obvious, but there are people who really, in that state of deception and sin, expect that to happen. Nor can we pray for things that are contrary to the will of God. You might say, if we're to pray for the things that are his will, how do we know what is his will and what's not his will? Well, first, the Lord has told us it is his will to supply all of our needs. That's Philippians 4:19. Second, we can ask without wavering, James 1:6, and expect an answer. If our faith wavers, we're told in James 1:7, we're not to think that we shall receive anything of the Lord. We're told that we can pray for the things that supply the necessities of life, for our physical well-being. What are the needs of our lives? Well, shelter, food, clothing, health, finances. Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That's Matthew 6:9, 10, and 11. All things that pertain to this life are incorporated in that term used by the Lord as bread, the things that are required for our life. In this verse 8, Jesus tells us that his Father knows what things we have need of even before we ask. Luke's description of the Lord's Prayer is, Give us day by day our daily bread. We're admonished to ask for our daily bread that is given day by day, meaning that the Father continually will supply our needs. We're to pray also for divine protection from sudden dangers that sometimes confront us. That's Matthew 24:20. Well, I see my time is getting away, and I'm just going to continue on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to tune in at this same time. But for now, I want to share a letter that's come in recently from a brother writing from Castro Valley. He says, Thank you for offering Brother Glass's Word of Prophecy on cassette tape, even though his passing was in 97. This prophetic word is so timely for 07, considering current world events. It sounds as if it could have been uttered literally yesterday. So thank you again, all my prayerful support, a brother writing from Castro Valley. Well, the announcer is going to give you our mailing address. I invite you to write, request that tape, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.